Hey, it's John Ireland. I want 6 Jack tacos for $3.
You know what's really underrated at Jack in the Box? The egg rolls. The egg rolls are very underrated. Have you ever gotten them?
No, I always think there are certain things you shouldn't do in certain places. Like, I don't think you should eat fish on a plane.
I don't think you should eat
egg rolls at Jack in the Box.
That's the movie. That's Airplane.
Oh, really?
The fish on the plane thing.
Yeah, but I wouldn't get egg rolls. I'd get egg rolls at Panda Express or at Chin Chin, but I probably wouldn't get them at Jack in the Box. You say they're good.
Oh, they're really good. It's great food for when it's late at night.
Okay, so there's these weird game times. Michael will back me up on this. Uh-huh. Like, we don't know, Mace, when to actually eat dinner because you don't want to pig out before a game. And sometimes our game, like that game the other night, Michael, ended at, 10 o'clock. Uh-huh. And it's probably too late to eat at 10 o'clock, but I did it anyway. That's where you hit the Jack tacos. Like, you haven't eaten since noon.
Yeah.
It's 10 o'clock at night. You either go in and out. The problem, it shouldn't say a problem, but Michael, do you find this with In-N-Out? In-N-Out is so popular that there's often a line there, even if it's 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, but the good thing about the In-N-Outs that I go to, they do a good job of moving that line along because they've got workers standing out by the cars. And
right.
You go through line, even if it's like about 30, 40 cars, you're like In-N-Out. You're in and out of there by 15 minutes, and you're out.
Yeah. So,
by the way, you guys know who the richest female tennis player in the world is?
It's not Serena?
Heck no, not even close.
Yeah. It's Pegula.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of Jessica Pegula?
I did this story yesterday in the Scoop. Yeah. Michael, go ahead and tell it.
Jessica Pegula is the daughter of the Buffalo Bills and Buffalo Sabres owner Terry Pegula.
Her dad's a billionaire,
and he's worth $5 billion. How about that, huh?
And so, this is a good question for both of you. There was the question I asked Ramona: the fact that she comes from privilege.
Yeah.
That she's never had to worry about money in any way.
No.
Does that help her or hurt her now? Like, she's in the quarterfinals at the Australian Open.
Yeah.
She can obviously afford the greatest coaches and she can stay in 5-star hotels. But all the media is going to say, well, she doesn't want it as much as the other player. She didn't have to work as hard. Mm-hmm. Michael, does it help her or hurt her that she comes from money?
Oh, it helps her because there's no pressure on her to win and make prize money.
Totally disagree, Michael.
Really?
Totally
why?
Disagree.
Why?
Because when you come from nothing, and I won't say I came from nothing. I was kind of lower middle class guy.
Mm-hmm.
You're hungry.
Yes,
you're hungry.
But don't you understand?
You need it. You need it bad.
Right, because she doesn't need the prize money to survive. So she could just go out there and play free and pressure free.
Right, but it's there are certain people, like Kobe was like this. Kobe grew up the son of an NBA player. You put Clay in this boat.
Yeah.
Clay didn't need to make it in the NBA to have a successful life.
Right.
You were already set up.
Yeah, he already was.
But he had
a cushy life.
For some reason, Clay had a drive to make it to the NBA. For some reason, Jessica Pegula, had the drive to make it this far in tennis. But I kind of agree with Mace. I think that if I look across the net and I'm playing a billionaires, I'm thinking, come on, man. You've worked your whole life to get to this point, and you're going to lose to her? No way.
Wouldn't she be as hungry as the young lady who struggled on the way up?
She doesn't need it.
But maybe she has a passion.
But
Alan, you don't get to this level without a passion for your job. You can't just go out there and casually be.
Right, but Michael, what we're arguing is that the other person would have more passion. It would mean more to the opponent.
To win the money, of course, because Jessica Pegula doesn't need the money, but I bet you she wants to win just as bad as Serena or Naomi Osaka wants to win.
So here's the thing, Michael. So I've always thought that I was texting there. I've always thought that this was a problem with Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel came from money. He was a rich kid.
Right.
And I always thought that was the reason why he became such a screw-up. Was because he had so much money, it didn't really matter to him. I'm set for life. This is just a game.
So you guys don't think Bronny James is as passionate about the basketball as, say, some kid from the inner city with no money?
Well, it's very rare that the second-generation guy outdoes the first. Clay is the exception. Clay's going to probably go to the Hall of Fame, and you're not in it.
Hey, I'm in the Bahamian Hall of Fame anyway.
But that's rare, Michael.
Right.
Like, Ken Griffey Jr. was that way. Most of the time, The like Kareem's kids, none of them made it to the NBA.
Right, right.
None of Magic's kids right. made it to the NBA.
And by the way, there are tons of famous rich people's kids who turn out to be screw-ups.
Well, of course. But you guys are saying that Bronny James isn't as passionate about his job or won't be as passionate about basketball as a kid who had to struggle and didn't.
Well,
and
maybe he will. Maybe he'll be the Klay Thompson.
Maybe he'll be the Klay Thompson. That's maybe he'll be the exception.
That's what this girl Jessica Pegula is, right?
So
right.
we're gonna find out, right?
Oh, she can play
right. Well, you know what's interesting? We could apply this conversation to O'Shea.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, there's O'Shea has a chance. O'Shea's really good in everything he's in. I've told him this. Mm-hmm. Like,
actually, he's online right now.
Oh, hey, Shea, you there?
I'm here.
Hey, man.
Yeah, so ask him that question.
We're talking about there's a girl at in the quarterfinals of the Australian Open.
And they say you ain't hungry, O'Shea. Anyway,
no, that's the daughter of a billionaire. And we're trying to figure out if being a billionaireess is helpful or hurtful to her. The fact that your dad's a star, that you're the son of a star, does that work for you or against you when you're going after gigs?
Oh, it's for sure a give and take. It's for sure a gift and a curse. You know, you, of course, the blessing of it all is obvious. But the curse side of it, you know, I go into a lot of meetings and a lot of things with people feeling like they already have an idea of the type of person that I am.
Right.
As far as, you know, my dad being a rapper and I think I'm about to come in there with like 20 guys and like the whole nine and all that. But it's up to you showing that you're there to work. And it's all about how you were raised and who you were raised by to show your work ethic. I know Klay Thompson comes from an NBA champion, but he didn't act like he was one until he won a few.
Yeah, but are you less hungry as a other kid who grew up with nothing?
I think there's a little bit of that. You for sure have to come up with your own fire. You know, a lot of like for instance, my dad, his fire came from wanting to get out of the situation he was in, wanting to have a better life, wanting to, you know, not be hit with the same trials and tribulations that he always had. He wanted to get out. When you come from success, you kind of have to find something within yourself that makes you want to have that same work ethic, that same drive, that same fire. So a lot of it is based off the individual, but it can be something where, you know, the term is you're born on third base, thought you hit a triple. That can affect you. So it's all up. It's on the person's will.
All right, Shea, weigh in on this, and Michael, you too. Mason and I have been debating. Mace would like to see, now that Anthony Davis is going to be out for what we think is going to be at least 9 games, if you believe Woj's report.
Yeah, like
until
after the All-Star break, March 10th.
Mason would like to see Rob Pelinka go out and bring in some outside help.
Yes.
Shea, I'm arguing that I want to see more minutes for Kyle Kuzma, Talen Horton-Tucker, Markieff Morris. I want to see if somebody can take the ball and run with it. You're the biggest Laker fan we know. What do you want to see?
Yeah, I want to. I really believe last year our biggest weapon was our chemistry, and I think this is playing suit this year as well. I'm nervous unless it's for some guy that plays up in Washington or something. I wouldn't want to break up the chemistry. I feel like these guys are a tight-knit group. And, yeah, let's see who can step up. Kuzma, out of nowhere, is this rebounding machine. We all know that Alex Caruso is the GOAT that we've been waiting for forever. So, yeah, let's see what we can do before we start to, you know, do that old Laker trade him away.
Michael, you were this guy. You were a guy the Lakers went out and got in the middle of the season to try and help. You were the outside help. You're the guy Mason's arguing for in this scenario.
We need today's Michael Thompson.
Michael, what do you think? Do you think that you want to see what the guys on the bench can do, or do you want to see him go get some?
I like both things. I like what you and O'Shea are saying. Let's see. This is this guy's opportunity to step up. Everybody's got to do a little bit more to make up for the absence of AD, but we can't say any names, but there is a guy out there who might be bought out and might be available, and the Lakers could go out and sign him for the vet minimum. And if he wants to come here, the Lakers definitely should go get that
guy. I mean, I think they need front court depth.
Yeah.
I you.
Oh, oh wait, wait.
Davis
I know you
not.
got. I know you guys can't say anything, but would you?
Mason,
I could say somebody over in Detroit or somebody over in Cleveland who might get bought out. Yeah, those guys.
If you can get one of those guys, if you can get a Drummond or you can get a Blake Griffin, then do you make the move? Do you sign them to the vet minimum if
Shay,
they get bought out?
If we're just adding players, then by all means, yeah, let's add somebody. But I'm just not down for, you know, breaking the ship just yet and trading away. But if you can add pieces to the chemistry we already have, why not?
Last year, Rob Pelinka became very good at that. Markieff Morris was a midseason add. Deion Waiters, J.R. Smith, all those guys they brought in midseason all got rings. And so, you know, Rob's not afraid to do it. But we just have to see what the landscape looks like when it comes time to pull the trigger.
Yeah, you know, that Rob Pelinka, in Rob we trust, Lakers Twitter knows what I'm talking about when I say that. That's in Rob we trust is a real thing. And, you know, trade deadline Pelinka is just as lethal as playoff LeBron. So, I really want to see what he can do.
Okay, O'Shea, somebody, and we have an email address that we use for the show. My email address is venicemace@gmail.com. And what's your email address, John?
venicemace@gmail.com.
You can always reach the show. So Chad Parker, a guy named Chad Parker, loyal listener who lives out in Temecula, did a rap. And you are a person that knows music really well, obviously. I want to play it for you and get your reaction, okay?
Okay.
Hit it.
To all the listeners in the $100 billas.
Okay.
Mason and Allen is who we be feeling. They got you stuck off the realness. They be the infamous, you heard of them. Mason and Island, 710 in them. The show comes equipped for sports fair. Beware of my 710 family who got enough shows to share for all those who want to listen in the Teslas. Rock you in your ear, blaze your brain with Porta Yeska. You all alone in your car, cousin. Mason and Island in this LA land, they be loving. And keep 570 crews running like they supposed to. They come on, but they never come close to. Mason and Island can see it inside your faith. You in the right place, cowards like Kawhi just get their whole body laced up with second round knockouts and such. Speak the right words and you will get love. Put your whole army against my 710 team and I guarantee Mason and Island is what you'll be dreaming.
Shay,
what do you think?
Yeah. First of all, the Porta Yeska line is amazing. I'm all here for any Clipper slander. You can tell he's a listener. I mean, he gets praise for me. Plus, he used the Mob Deep, Shook One's instrumental. Yeah, that gets a thumbs up from me.
Nice! Chad Parker, Temecula, thank you very much,
Chad.
Man. That was great.
That was excellent.
Shay, are you done? When do you get done? By the way, Shay is working with an old buddy of mine, Mike Weiss, who is doing some work on the new show today, I guess. How's the show going? What's the show called again?
Is this the Kevin Durant show you're still doing, Shay?
Yeah, it's Swagger. I still can't get Kevin to answer any of my texts. He's probably gearing up for the 18th, but he'll play us without AD, so I let him know that it doesn't count.
You've been shooting that a long time. When's it get done?
You know, I'm starting to think they're just keeping me hostage. If you guys see any of my family, please tell them I love them. I'm not sure when we're going to be finished with this.
Yeah, because you're shooting in Virginia, right?
Yeah, man. I've been here for a long time. We've been filming since January 2020. COVID really knocked us back, but yeah, I'm still here. Tell Los Angeles I love her. She doesn't call. She doesn't write.
All right, man. Well, listen, Shay, thanks for coming on and hanging out a little bit today.
Oh, man, you know, I'm always here. I'm not really doing anything, man. Virginia's boring. Lakers in five.
All right, Lakers in five. Thank you very much. There's O'Shea Jackson Jr.
That should be his Twitter handle, Lakers in five.
Lakers in five. Yeah. It's a great name. Absolutely. That Twitter handle's probably out there and available, Michael.
Yeah, well, I'll stick with champagne and nuts. Had some
stick
yesterday.
Stick with champagne. Hey, you know what, Michael? I would be interested. Scott Kaplan is coming onto my podcast, the Culture Pop podcast, on Saturday. Would you ever be interested in coming onto my podcast?
How long does it last?
Probably 45 minutes.
Oof. What time of day?
We can work around you, but a lot of times we do it on Saturdays.
Saturdays?
Yeah.
Who else does it with you?
My friend Sue Kalinske, who's a stand-up comic.
Yeah. Saturdays, 45 minutes. Like,
which? Well, you're really putting him on the spot.
Michael's head is spinning to come up with a good excuse.
Which Saturday?
You name it.
Saturday's usually my boxing day. I'm watching fights.
But this would be like noon on Saturday.
Noon on, that's usually when I go for my bike ride on my e-bike.
Yeah. Okay. So are you just avoiding this? Are you just dodging it entirely?
I'm seeing if I can fit you into my schedule, Mace.
You would be great.
I'll have my people get back to you on that.
People love you, Michael. It'd be great.
The corporate blow-off.
No, I've got people. I'll have them get back to you.
Ireland has done it. George Sedano has done it. Scott Kaplan's doing it on Saturday. Michael Thompson would complete.
I'll do it when Stu Lance does it.
Oh, get Stu first.
And then when Key does it, I'll do it.
There you go, Key. Mace. You get Key and Stu Lance, and you get Michael.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Right. Those are tough bookings. All right. Thank you very much, Michael. Appreciate it.
I'm sure it's good.
It is.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to get your reaction to what Draymond Green said in a very passionate way last night.
All right.
All right. Well, we get the scoop next.
I'm sorry. Let's hold that off. We'll do the scoop next. And then at 2:30, we'll do the Draymond Green thing. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, here we go. If today was Selection Sunday, Gonzaga and Baylor would be number one seeds. Kentucky and Duke probably not even going to make the tournament. Jalen Johnson has opted out for Duke to get ready for the NBA draft. Michigan, Ohio State would probably be the other two number one seeds. But the top 25 is filled with schools from mid-majors. Houston, Creighton, Loyola, Chicago, San Diego State would all be top seeds. John, do you think this is shaping up to be a great field filled with surprises or a tough-to-sell field without blue bloods like Kentucky and Duke?
No, I think people will watch the tournament no matter what. And because so few people, like, be honest answer to this question. Have you watched a college basketball game this year?
No. I never do.
Yeah, I've watched, like, two.
I've watched women's more than men.
Right. So I think because, Mace, there is – the blue bloods aren't going to make a huge difference because nobody can tell you who plays for Kentucky and Duke anyway. Nobody's been paying attention, so I think the tournament will do fine.
I think the tournament will – not do it hurts not having schools like Kentucky and Duke in it because those are just big name, powerhouse, brand name teams. And I think that makes a difference. There is no giant in the field. Like even Kansas is number 23, I think, in the country.
All the players look the same and play the same, Mace. So you don't really need Duke and North Carolina in there. They're all the same.
There are no names and no big name schools. I think it's going to hurt the tournament. I think it's going to hurt. Ireland?
Okay, this I have, I want to make a direct appeal to Lindsay. Lindsay, are you listening closely?
I'm listening very closely, as always.
Now, I have sometimes accused you of not getting excited enough about this show. For example, you still refuse to do a growl, right? Can I get you to do a growl, or you still don't want to do it?
I mean, I have to feel up to it, right?
Okay, so today I have some inspiration for you.
Okay.
Your Cleveland Cavaliers are 10-19, and they've lost 8 games in a row. But you're still better than the Detroit Pistons. Detroit is 8-19, the worst record in the East, but that didn't stop a Pistons fan named Nicholas Hinkle from getting fired up. Here's what he posted to social media yesterday.
I keep telling you not to let these Detroit Pistons get hot, and what does the NBA do? They make the schedule even hotter. And what are the Pistons going to do? They're going to fare all the same. It's not going to matter. It doesn't matter. Destiny arrives all the same. The Detroit Pistons, for the first time all season, have a winning streak back-to-back games. Don't let these Pistons get hot. If you're a visiting team and you get off the plane in Detroit, I hope you said your goodbyes. Unbelievable.
All right, Lindsay, you can hear. That's for the 8-19 Detroit Pistons. Give us your best 30 seconds about how excited you about the future of the Cavs.
You can't just put me on the spot
You want me to do it?
Yeah, you do it.
You can't let these Cavs get hot. We've got Colin Sexton. We've got Darius Garland. We've got Sexland. Nobody else has Sexland. We have Andre Drummond, and we don't even play him. We had LeBron, but we don't need him anymore. Don't let these Cavs get hot. We got the river. It catches on fire. We've got Sexland. Let's go.
That's good.
Lindsay, you don't have a lot of fire in you.
I do. I just, you know, I need something to get fired up over, and I'm just going to say right now.
How about this? There are only two games out of the play-in.
The Cavs are only two games out of the play-in. Game losing streak. Where's Kevin Love been? Andre Drummond, like you said, like he's not even playing. Kevin Love is just nowhere to be found. I don't know. And then they get rid of who's the guy that they just waived or released?
Well, that guy's a knucklehead.
I'm just saying. He's having, like, career games down in the G League.
Kevin Porter.
Didn't Kevin Porter yell at his own GM?
Yeah, because they moved his locker out of in another room. By the way, Lindsay, listen to
the passion in this guy. Hit that guy again, Jorge.
Keep telling you not to let these Detroit Pistons get hot, and what does the NBA do? They make the schedule even hotter. And what are the Pistons going to do? They're going to fare all the same. It's not going to matter.
You can kill it, George. That's what we need.
Lindsay, when you go to a Browns game, don't you sit the dog pound?
No, I've never been to a Browns game as a fan, only as a media.
What? You've never been to a Browns game as a fan?
No.
Well, I wouldn't want to sit in a 2-degree weather and root for
I'm not really a fan. Yeah, I'm not really a fan of watching NFL games in person in Cleveland, especially in the cold. I just think that football is way better to watch.
I'm like the opposite of you. I've never been to a Rams game as media.
Well, it's completely different as going to the Rams game in California where it's 75 degrees.
You can go to a game in September in Cleveland, it's 75.
No, because usually what happens in September is, you know, you have to pay outrageous prices for the tickets because everybody thinks that the Browns are going to be good again. And then once you get to, like, November and it's cold and they stink, then you can get a ticket.
All right, Mace, you got time for one more?
This is the end of Cleveland talk, by the way. In case anybody was wondering, no more Cleveland talk. I think we're out of time. We'll get to more Scoop tomorrow. Coming up next for you, big news, John. Big news, breaking news coming up next. Plus, what Draymond Green said last night. I want to get your guys' take on it. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, John, got some breaking news right now. Breaking news on 710 ESPN, powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and coupons. John, just got an email from Michael Martinez from the Southern California Sports Broadcasters Board of Directors.
Okay.
Here's what it says. We hope you're doing well. As you might know, we are having a 2020 SCSB Award Zoom presentation at noon next Monday. You are a finalist for Irv K's Radio Host Award, Mason and Ireland Show.
Very impressive.
We're a finalist for another Bob Miller Award. How important is this to you?
I'm up for three of them.
Get out.
I am. I'm up for the Irv K's Radio Host Award with you.
Yep.
I'm up for the Chick Hearn Radio Play-by-Play Award and the Call of the Year, Anthony Davis's Game 2 winner in the Western Conference Finals. But the question is, can we participate in this? What if our categories don't come up until like 12? Should we just do it live? Should we keep the Zoom going during the show?
Yeah, absolutely. It starts at noon.
So hopefully they'll get them all in.
See, what I don't want to be is that person like at the Academy Awards who doesn't win, then they have to pretend like congratulations, because I actually want to win.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the person that has to be, oh, good. Good for you.
That's no, great. I will be legitimately happy for the winner. That's the difference between me and you. If you come in second, you'll be miserable.
Do you need to win for your self-esteem, Mace?
Yes.
Why?
Because I have low self-esteem. I need validation, constant validation.
So if you were like, listen next Monday, Michael, because this could be very interesting.
So if you were like an NBA player, you'd want to be MVP every year.
If I was a great player, every year I'd be devastated if I didn't win. Michael, as I've often said, I'm in this for the awards.
Really?
So yeah, in this for the awards.
Michael, Mason and I have often said, if we were given a choice, if you could be Robert Horry,
yeah,
or Patrick Ewing.
Mm-hmm.
Mason would take Ewing because he wants to be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh.
I would take Horry because I desperately want to win.
Right. Now, Mace, when you think that, when you compare those two, who do you think had a more satisfying career? And who's more content with his career?
Probably, because I see him all the time on Spectrum, mm-hmm, and he seems very content.
Right.
Probably Robert Horry.
Exactly. Mace, I'll make it harder.
Okay.
Charles Barkley or Robert Horry?
Yeah. Oh, Charles Barkley's having so much fun. I'd be Charles Barkley.
Right.
But see, mates,
Charles Barkley,
Michael,
seems
I would
extremely
want, I'd
content.
Still want Horry. Seven
yes.
rings compared to zero.
Of course.
Hall of Fame or bust. That's
Horry,
what I say.
Horry deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
You think so?
Yes. Yeah, seven championships, and he
was
the
best player on his own
team. Never the best player on his own team.
True.
Made gigantic shots.
But he was like Michael Cooper, a very important player on that team, and they might not win titles without him.
Hey, Mace, what did Draymond Green say?
Oh, yeah. So last night, Draymond Green went totally off during his press conference after, I think, the Warriors lost that game last night. Steph went for, I don't know, 35 or something. So, you know, Andre Drummond, they're sitting until they can potentially make a deal, the Cavaliers, so he's not playing any more games. Blake Griffin, not playing any more games until Detroit explores whether or not they can trade him. Here is Draymond Green last night reacting to that.
To watch Andre Drummond before the game sit on the sideline, then go to the back, and then come out in street clothes because a team is going to trade him is bull. Because when James Harden asked for a trade and essentially dogged it, no one's going to fight back that James was dogging it his last days in Houston. But he was castrated for one to go to a different team, and everybody destroyed that man. And yet a team can come out and say, oh, we want to trade a guy, and then that guy is to go sit. And if he doesn't stay professional, then he's a cancer, and he's not good in someone's locker room, and he's the issue. And we've seen situations of Harrison Barnes getting pulled off the bench. You know, DeMarcus Cousins finding out that he's traded in an interview after the All-Star game, and we continue to let this happen. But I got fined for stating my opinion of what I thought should happen with another player. But teams can come out and continue to say, oh, we're trading guys, we're not playing you. And yet we're to stay professional. At some point, as players, we need to be treated with the same respect and have the same rights that the team can have. Because as a player, you're the worst person in the world when you want a different situation. But a team can say they're trading you, and that man is to stay in shape. He is to stay professional. And if not, his career is on the line. At some point, this league has to protect the players from embarrassment like that. You know, we talk all of this stuff about you can't do this, you can't say that publicly. If you say that publicly, you're fine. Anthony Davis got fined, I think, $100,000 or something like that for demanding a trade publicly. But you can say Andre Drummond's getting traded publicly, and we're looking to trade him publicly, and he's to stay professional and just deal with it. But then when Kyrie Irving say, oh, my mental health is off, everybody go crazy about that too. Do you not think that affects someone mentally? As much as we put into this game to be great, to come out here and be in shape, to produce for fans every single night, and most importantly, to help your team win, do you think that doesn't affect someone mentally? But as players, we're told to, no, you can't say that, you can't say this, but teams can? It goes along the same lines of when everyone wants to say, oh, man, that young guy can't figure it out. But no one wants to say the organization can't figure it out. At some point, the players must be respected in these situations, and it's ridiculous, and I'm sick of seeing it. Y'all have a great night. I'll see y'all tomorrow or Wednesday.
So what he's getting at, which is interesting, he's saying that if a team wants to set somebody because they want to move them, there's no fallout. But if a player wants to demand a trade or have self-determination and decide where he wants to go, like James Harden, or take time away from the game because he's experiencing a mental, emotional issue like Kyrie Irving, those guys get absolutely killed. Does he have a point?
I think he does. Matter of fact, I've never understood, Mace. I think that any time a player and a team are in a relationship that it goes both ways. Michael, you've talked about this a million times, that if a player doesn't want to be there, I've never understood why the team even wants him. You know, Jerry West, when Michael got traded to the Lakers, told him, Michael, welcome to the Lakers. If you ever don't want to be here, let me know and we'll work something out. I would never want a player as a team. If I was a team GM, I would never want a player whose heart wasn't in it or that didn't want to play for me. If he's not pulling on the same side of the rope as all the other guys, I'd get him out. And so for me, I think it swings both ways. Michael, what do you think?
I agree. If a player doesn't want to be there in James Harden's situation, get rid of him. If Kevin Durant won't be there to see, wish you the best, we'll see what he can get for you. But as far as a team running things and how, holding out a player, hey, they're the boss. They're in charge. You're an employee. Understand that, no matter who you are. And if they want to hold you out to protect you from getting hurt so they can keep your trade value up, I got no problems with that. So in case you go out there and tear up a knee or something.
But I mean, when a team does it, there's no ramifications, right? Nobody says, oh, that's a terrible
team. The boss.
They're not playing their guys.
Yeah, they're the boss, and that's what they will choose to do. Then you're an employee. Suck it up and take it. But I agree with Draymond. If a guy says, listen, I don't want to be here anymore, he's an employee, he doesn't want to work for this company anymore, then the media shouldn't kill him, because – I'm sure in somebody's career out there listening to us, they've all been in that situation where I don't want to work at this company anymore. I'm going to see if I can move on to something else. We've all been there. So they shouldn't kill players for expressing that they want out.
See, I think the two players that he mentioned, James Harden and Kyrie, are different situations. Like, I never was critical of James Harden. I believe that a player, you should be able to say, hey, I'm done here.
Right.
I want to move.
Exactly. But even though you're under contract.
In the case of Kyrie, he just disappeared from his team without telling anybody what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to let the boss know why you can't go to work. I mean, you just don't disappear while they got to try to find you.
Do you think a mental health break is a good enough reason to take some games
but
off?
But as long as he lets everybody know, you just can't leave and not say anything.
Right, exactly.
Because there's other people that are depending on you.
Yeah, if someone's going through some kind of emotional stress, and if I'm the team owner or the GM, I'll say, okay, if you need a break because you're going through something, some issues in your life, then you're not doing us any good by being distracted, being in the locker room or in the court. So go do what you have to do. Take care of yourself. When you're ready to come back, let us know.
And I don't think you can make a guy play for you. Like, Deshaun Watson has said he doesn't want to be in Houston.
Right.
Right.
I think it's a mistake for the Texans to say, we're not trading you. Suck it up.
Yeah, exactly.
That's terrible.
I would try everything to make him happy.
Yeah, but they've already tried. He doesn't want to be there, Mace.
I would
accept
put players around him. I would give him control over the – I would say, look, he's one of the top three quarterbacks in the game, in my opinion.
So get 5 or 6 picks for him and move on.
No.
Draft
what
Justin
Mace,
what if everything? Say, what if everything he said – you did all those things, and he still said to you, look, you don't understand. I think the ownership here is racist. I don't want to play here. I'm out no matter what you do. You would still try and keep him?
Well, if that's the issue,
is that what he said? He didn't say that, did he? The ownership he views as racist?
Well, no, he pointed out that he was told, he was promised that he would have a say in the hiring of the new coach and the new GM.
Yeah, he felt disrespected.
They didn't do it. Bob McNair, the late owner, his son Cal runs the team now, is the guy who referred to all the players as inmates.
The dad did, not Cal.
Correct. And you can't have the inmates running the asylum.
Yeah, that was
he
really
said,
wrong.
I'd like to go to Miami where they have a black head coach and a black GM because I think they would understand me better. I just think that
they did just hire an African-American head coach in Houston.
Well, that's taking a page from your book. They're trying to give him what he wants. But if he still doesn't want to be there, I don't think you can force him to play.
No, if he ultimately doesn't want, in other words, if I say, look, Deshaun, do you get along with this coach? Is there a future? Who is the right offensive coordinator for you? Go ahead and call your shot. What wide receiver on the market do you want? Do you want Marvin Jones Jr.?
DeAndre
Which of these
Hopkins.
Guys do you like? DeAndre, well, they traded DeAndre Hopkins, right. But who do you want that's on the market right now? That's what I would do if I was Houston. And then at the end of the day, if none of that works, then you trade him. But I do everything I could to try to keep the top three quarterback in the NFL on my roster. I would go to the I would make it a last ditch effort to save it. If in the end there's no way to save it, then I trade him. But I understand why Houston's waiting. I understand. Let's give Deshaun his voice right now. Let's allow him to call some shots and give him power in the organization. If that doesn't work, then you move him.
Top three quarterbacks. He better than Brady?
Yes, I take. Who would you take, Deshaun Watson or Brady?
He's 25. Of course, you'd take Deshaun.
Yeah, right.
But to win one game, wouldn't you take Brady over him?
Wait a minute, Michael. Who are you putting? Are you putting Aaron Rodgers ahead of Deshaun?
Yeah, well, you got Aaron Rodgers. You got obviously Mahomes. You got Russell.
Mahomes
Wilson.
Is above him.
Yeah, you got.
If I was building a team for the next 5 to 10 years, I think Deshaun's two, right behind Mahomes.
Yeah, I think he's two also.
Well, because this was youth, of course. It's youth.
Yeah. Well, that's obviously that's part of the. Part of the
yeah, of course. He's a great player. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, but you put him ahead of Brady right now to win a big game? Come on.
All right. So coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, here we go. Time for Radio Tinder. Lindsay, what do you got?
Well, I just want to start this off by saying I'm super excited to do Radio Tinder today.
Excellent.
I just love it.
Sorry,
bravo. I'm going to start it off with a Cleveland alert. You got the Cleveland alert. All right, the Browns were one of the first teams to show interest in signing defensive end J.J. Watt after he was released by the Texans on Friday, and it appears that the interest is mutual. Cleveland.com reports that Watt is seriously considering making his way to Cleveland to play for the Browns due to the cap space they have available and a roster he thinks can potentially compete for the Super Bowl. Now, we all know it's been a while since any big-name free agent chose to sign with the Browns. Do you think that J.J. Watt is actually a realistic option for them? Swipe left or swipe right?
I think it's very realistic. I think you put him next to Myles Garrett.
Myles
and how do
Garrett,
you block
yeah.
that? I mean, that's really smart,
that's what
I think.
Like to hear.
Yeah, no, that would be a great acquisition. Now, I immediately, of course, went to the Rams as a possibility, the idea of teaming two guys who are three-time defensive players of the year would be an unbelievable option. Here's the issue. They probably do have room to work it out, but it might be a question of J.J. Watt or John Johnson and Leonard Floyd. In that scenario, in that world, do you go J.J. Watt or do you go the other two guys?
I would go the other two guys, but it's close.
Yeah, it's really close.
Who does Cleveland want to sign? What? I said, who does Cleveland want to sign? What? Yeah, who does Cleveland want to sign? What?
Good one, Michael.
Yeah,
who's on first?
Michael.
Yeah, exactly.
Very funny. Very funny. As
you get it?
All
you
right.
get it? Hey, by the way, shouldn't he have been a second baseman? Oh, come on. How would a name like that?
In what way, Michael?
Who's on first? What's on second?
Ah, there you go.
Come on, Mace.
Oh, oh God, man, you're Michael. Killing us.
Hey, I bet he did play second base when he was the little leaguer. What do you think?
Yeah, yeah, what's on second?
Yeah.
Probably got that all the time. Got that line all the time.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. John Johnson plus Leonard Floyd or J.J. Watt is a really tough decision. I probably go on the side of John Johnson and Leonard Floyd.
I hope my Ravens get him.
What? They're your Ravens?
Yeah.
He loves Lamar
Jackson.
Oh,
that's right. You're a big Lamar Jackson guy.
Yeah.
Well,
you
I just, would be mad.
You don't
I
root for teams. You root for players,
yeah,
right, Michael?
Yeah, wherever my favorite players play, that's who I'm watching every Sunday.
He roots for the name on the back of the jersey.
Although I grew up like Lindy.
You root for the name on the back of the jersey.
Although I grew up as a Browns and a Chiefs fan when I was a kid in the Bahamas. That
okay.
was my team.
So why are you not still a Browns fan?
I still watch them for nostalgia's sake. I love their helmets, Lindsay. Oh, those helmets just make me remind me of my youth.
I know somebody else like you who watched the Browns. They became a Browns fan because I guess they lived in the middle of nowhere where the only games that they could see were the game of the week or whatever, and since the Browns were actually good back then, it was always the Browns. Is that your reasoning?
No, I just grew up loving Jim Brown and Mike Ryan and those guys, so that was my team.
Did you watch the movie One Night in Miami, by the way?
Not yet, but I got it on my list.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Michael, you got to watch One Night in Miami.
Oh, I know, I will. I will.
This is like a movie made for you.
I know, I love that kind of stuff.
All right.
Lindsay, what's next?
Spotify is adapting a work-from-anywhere model, which will allow employees to choose whether they want to be in the office full-time, be at home full-time, or a combination of the two. The company will also introduce more flexibility around location, so employees will be able to choose the country and city where they work. An increasing amount of companies are starting to consider remote work as a more permanent option due to the pandemic. If ESPN gave us the option to work fully remote forever, as long as we wanted to, would you? Swipe left or swipe right?
John?
Mace, go first on this one.
Okay. I would want to go back to the studio. I feel like I'm better when I'm around people, when I'm seeing human beings, I feel kind of cut off from the world right now. And if I could go and see Trish and Sean and John and have that normal activity that I normally work around, I would favor it. And when I get my two shots, I will probably go back to the studio. John?
I would rather be here. I think that, you know, one benefit of radio is you can do it from anywhere. But the difference is I'm still seeing people on a regular basis.
True.
And you're not.
Yep.
Like, for example, tonight I'm going to see Adam and Michael and Doug Mann and
right.
You're getting
human interaction.
And I'm going to see Sliwa. And Michael and I are in the studio four times a week. So I feel like I'm getting what you're saying you need. So we'd be a split vote on this. I'd want to stay home. Lindsay, how about you?
I think I would probably just do a combination of the two, but I do like the idea of working remotely because I feel like I get more stuff done because between like the commute of driving to the office and like getting ready, you know, being a woman, having to like put my makeup on, do my hair and all that stuff, and then driving there. And then once you're there, like, you know, obviously I love seeing everybody and I had only been there a month. So there's still so many people I need to get to know on like a face-to-face basis.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I like sitting down with you in the morning and trying to figure out the show and trying to plan out the show and doing it in person.
Yeah. And I miss the coffees, you know, the $7 coffees every day that you still get your fix on.
I miss our $100 wine dinners on the road, Ireland.
Yeah. I mean, well, I miss being on the road and that camaraderie.
Yeah.
But I think that Lindsay, you hit a key point on it. For Michael and I, the commute is a big deal. For me, time is very valuable. And that, you know, driving through traffic, that saves me an hour and a half every day if I don't have to do
See,
that.
See, for me, it's just straight up the 10.
Yeah.
And it's an easy drive for me. I hardly ever run into traffic, especially at the time of the day that we do the show. I think Lindsay hit on it. A combination of the two is probably the best possible scenario. Sometimes you go in. The one thing, Jorge, you know how this works, right? I call for you to play certain sound. If I was there, I would be able to play that sound myself, which makes the show easier for you, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one thing that I struggle with. I told Bergman, I was like, I struggle with the lack of control that I have over the show as the producer. Like, the phones, the callers, screening them, like, same thing with the sound, stuff like that. Like, I hate not having that control, but
Jorge is the most powerful person on the show. That's the absolute truth.
Because he has the con.
You've got the con, Jorge.
I try.
All right, Lindsay, what's next?
All right, last one here. A bride is under fire for something she sent along with her wedding invitation to her sister-in-law. And the bride's brother went on Reddit's Am I the A-hole forum to share the incident. Here's what he wrote. My sister's wedding is in 2 months. My wife noticed something else was sent along with the invitation. She came to me and handed me the envelope, and she looked so upset, almost crying. I opened it and found that my sister had sent a 30-day pre-wedding diet plan. My sister basically wanted my wife to lose weight by following this diet so she could look fit at the wedding. I called my sister and I argued with her. She said I shouldn't make this personal because everyone got a copy of this plan. I don't know whose idea this was or who made this plan, but it's awful. Literally the worst thing I've seen in a while. Am I overreacting? So is he. Swipe left or swipe right?
It's pretty...
Swipe left. I agree with the guy. That is the most obnoxious thing. You can't tell people if you want them to be in your wedding that they must lose weight.
It's incredibly ballsy. I can't believe that somebody did that. No, if you invite someone to be part of your wedding, you take them as they are. You can't say, hey, will you be in my wedding? Sure, thank you. Well, I need you to lose 20 pounds.
You know, when I was in Dave Singer's wedding, John, I was living in New York, and I flew back for it. I probably weighed 235. I look like a sausage stuffed into a tuxedo.
Now, in that case, if I was Singer, I would have put you on a diet. 235.
Not when I really needed a diet.
Yeah.
But, no, I don't think you can tell your wedding guests, your wedding party, what they should weigh in order to – it's funny. Blake Shelton thinks he's trying to lose weight for their wedding.
Yeah.
And
he's marrying Gwen Stefani, who's like a, you know, super skinny.
And, you know, if you shoot your selfie from above, you look thinner. And so he has positioned all of his mirrors really high so that he doesn't look so bad in the mirrors. They're kind of tilted. that's the way. There's some mirror. Do you notice this? There are some mirrors that make you look bad, and there are some mirrors that make you look great. And I've always thought that in Vegas, they have mirrors that make you look great because they want you to feel good to go down to the casino and gamble. That there's something about the mirrors that make you look thinner than you are. Does that make sense?
I think so. The lighting, too. The lighting is a huge thing, which is why I'll never understand why a lot of these dressing rooms, when you go to try on clothes, have those bright fluorescent lights, like going to like Macy's, the department store, and it's like, ew, I'm never buying anything. This all looks terrible on me because I look disgusting because these crazy lights.
Do you believe the other thing about Vegas, that supposedly they pump oxygen into the room so you're really pumped up and you have trouble sleeping?
I believe that.
They do, and they keep the temperature cooler, too, because you can't fall asleep that easily if you're cold, but if you're warm, you're more relaxed.
Lindsay, in this time of COVID, when you ladies go shopping for clothes, will you guys now continue to try on clothes that other women have tried on?
Good question.
I always wondered about that. Isn't that kind of, like, unsanitary?
I don't think it's unsanitary because I don't think that, like, you know, I'm no scientist, but from what I understand, it's not like you can, like, get it on
clothes. Catch it from clothes.
But everywhere I've been, like, I've bought almost all my clothes online, and then if I don't like something, I just return it.
Yeah.
That's why I bought, like, 8 bathing suits, and then I only kept one of them because all the other ones look terrible.
Amazon does great. It's easy to send stuff back with Amazon.
But if you've already tried it on, Lindsay, now aren't your germs on it for some other women?
Yeah, but by the time you send it back and everything, like, I feel like it's fine.
You could be getting bathing suits that other people have already tried on.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, gross.
That's weird. You're not supposed to. I mean, that's a thing. Like that, women know you're not supposed to try your bathing suits on without clothes on. You're supposed to wear your undergarments.
Oh, I never knew that.
It's like a thing.
There you have it. There's your Radio Tinder coming up next for you. Should the Lakers look outside the organization for some front court help, or should they stand pat? With the injury to Anthony Davis, going to miss at least until March the 10th. That's coming up next for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.